My name is Cheryl Motor. I work for a nonprofit organization called Community Health Improvement Partners in San Diego. I have no relationships to disclose. Well, I may have some, but none that you're going to know about, right? Okay. So as I said, I work for a nonprofit. Community Health Improvement Partners, otherwise known as CHIP, has been around for almost 20 years. Our mission is to assess and address priority health needs through collaboration. CHIP assesses these needs through community health needs assessments, which have been mandated in the state of California for many years and now, of course, are mandated for nonprofit hospitals federally. Once we've identified these priority health needs, we sort of look for the gaps where service is needed, and we create programs and initiatives focused on these priority health issues. In the past, CHIP's issues have addressed access to care, immunization. Currently, we have programs relating to mental health, which is a top priority health need, as well as our premier program, which is the San Diego County Childhood Obesity Initiative, or COI, as I'll call it. The COI is a public-private partnership established in 2006, before the term collective impact had even been made aware of this term. Our focus is reducing and preventing childhood obesity through policy systems and environmental change. And we are, as it turns out, a collective impact model. So today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the concepts behind collective impact. What are the elements that are necessary for it to be successful, and also what are the functions and qualities that are necessary for what we call the backbone organization, which is the role that my organization provides in our initiative. And throughout all, I'm going to be kind of using our COI, Childhood Obesity Initiative, as an example of how we have put these concepts into practice in San Diego. So as you've heard, there are different types of problems. I'm going to break these down into two. One is technical problems. One is adaptive problems, otherwise known as wicked problems, as Carmen indicated. Technical problems are typically well-defined, and we know the answer. And usually one or a few organizations or sectors have the ability to solve the problem. So you want to build a rocket ship, you go to the aerospace industry. You want heart surgery, you go to healthcare. And as the federal government has found out, you want to build a website, you go to programmers that are efficient and effective, right? Okay. But adaptive problems are much more complex. They have multiple causes, and maybe we don't even know how to solve them. In public health, we talk about the social determinants of health, which are really the root causes for many of the chronic health conditions that we're seeing and trying to solve. And furthermore, no single entity, even public health, has the resources, authority, or ability to solve this problem by itself. Solving problems like our education system, global warming, and yes, certainly childhood obesity is another one of these big adaptive problems. So we're all familiar with traditional problem solving as it affects our work. We have funders, either the federal government or private sector, private funders. They select individual organizations to whom they grant their money. These organizations work typically on an individual intervention and work separately and really are competing in this marketplace for these dollars. Program evaluation really looks at an isolated or particular intervention and that organization's impact, whether the intervention is successful. If it is, then you'll see usually a sort of scaling up effort of taking that intervention and trying to make it work in other places. In this model, corporate and government sectors are typically disconnected from foundations and nonprofits. You've got government typically funding academic institutions, and nonprofits typically are funded by private foundations. What this results in is everyone working in a different way, but not together and not in a coordinated manner. So collective impact is really utilizing a different approach to problem solving, where everyone might be doing disparate and separate activities, but we're all working together with the same goal and the same shared measurement system. You've got cross-sector alignment with government, nonprofit, philanthropic, corporate sectors, and among others, all working together in partnership, again, with an aligned vision. And organizations actively coordinating their actions and their activities and sharing their lessons learned and doing problem solving all along the way. So this is a quote from John Kania and Mark Kramer, who published in 2011 a rather landmark article in the Stanford Social Innovation Review. This is the first time we really started talking about collective impact. They're from this organization, FSG, which is a nonprofit consulting firm, that back in about 2009 or 10 started looking at collaboratives or initiatives that were solving these big societal problems and doing so effectively. They started really digging deeper to find out what these efforts had in common, and they came up with a set of strategies or recommendations for implementing collective impact based on their research, and this article was really the first time that we began discussing this work in this way. So I'm going to talk about the five key elements of collective impact as identified by FSG, and also, as I said, use the COI as an example of how we're doing that in San Diego. The first is a common agenda, which involves both an understanding of the problem and a shared vision on how you're going to solve it. For COI, we have a shared focus, as I mentioned, policy systems and environmental change. And we have a strategic plan that identifies a shared vision, healthy eating and active living in all places. We have goals relating to, improving access to healthy food and opportunities for physical activity, the built environment and other changes we're hoping to see. We also made as one of our goals promoting operational excellence of the public-private partnership, because without that, we know we're going back in time to the isolated impact model. The second element is mutually reinforcing activities. What this does not mean is that everyone is doing the same thing. Everyone needs to do what they do in the best way that they do it. The difference is that you're coordinating your activities through a joint plan of action. In San Diego, for us, this is the Childhood Obesity Action Plan. It was developed in 2006 and really was the launch of our Childhood Obesity Initiative. We brought together partners from multiple sectors, or what we call domains that you see listed here. And we had them participate in this process of identifying specific strategies within their domain or their sphere of influence that they feel really could move the needle on policy and environmental change and resulting reduction in childhood obesity. So we have the action plan that identifies individual strategies for each domain. We also encourage our domain partners to work together and to work cross-sector to make sure that this work isn't happening in silos. In addition, earlier this year, we also adopted two overarching strategies that all of our domains are working on. These include reducing access to and consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages and increasing safe routes to healthy places throughout our county. The third element is continuous communication. Consistent and open communication helps build trust. This doesn't happen right away, I will tell you. It takes time and effort. We're in our eighth year, and I think have done a great job. But recently, at the invitation of FSG, we talked to some other collective impact groups that are working from across the country on childhood obesity and other health issues, and found that a lot of the challenges we had early on that really boiled down to a lack of trust that we were able to solve, they're currently having. So this takes time and effort. We have regular meetings, which are key to this. We have both a leadership council that kind of guides and directs our efforts, as also domain working group meetings. Those happen regularly. Transparency is important, and I will just say quickly that we've developed policies around a number of issues, but perhaps our most important one was around fundraising, because trust flies out the window when you are competing for funds with your partners. And so the way that we're solving this problem is through our leadership council, where all of our domains are represented. We actually go to the leadership council when we have a funding opportunity that that we would like to pursue, so that we have a conversation and an agreement. That way, all of our partners know what we're applying for. And in some cases, realistically, we do compete with them, but at least it's all above board. It's transparent. Everyone's had an opportunity to discuss it in a mutually safe setting. We do ongoing regular communications, which has also proven to be crucial, not only about the work of the initiative and its partners, but individual organizations use this as an opportunity to talk about the work that they're doing outside of our initiative as well. And again, this helps to build trust. The fourth element is shared measurement, shared accountability, collecting data, measuring results. We have a three-tiered evaluation plan for the Childhood Obesity Initiative, focusing at the kind of top tier on reducing childhood obesity, of course, reducing BMI. The mid-level is the hardest one, I think, which is really as you're trying to make community-level changes in environment. These are very when you're kind of throwing everything you've got at the problem, it's very, very difficult to kind of monitor and evaluate this. I'm always challenging my academic partners to come up with a new research paradigm because we're not an intervention, so stop doing it that way. But anyway, that's another session. We also kind of at the lowest level, I guess, each of our domains operates with work plans that are updated twice a year so that we can kind of capture as much as possible and measure the work that they're doing. Also, very interesting study we did recently was a social network analysis. 111 partners participated in this study, which really looked at and helped us measure the level of value and trust and connectivity that we have among and between all of our partners, and that was very eye-opening for us. The fifth element of collective impact is the backbone support. And again, this is the function that my organization provides. We have dedicated staff that is focused on kind of keeping, developing, and maintaining these collaborative relationships. We set the meetings, we provide technical assistance and support. This is an example of our structure. I mentioned our leadership council, which reflects our public-private partnership and our individual domain working groups. So functions of the backbone organization. This is a big, long list, and I'm not going to read every single thing, but basically you serve as the mission leaders. People look to you for your leadership and your support, but it's really the partners at the table who are doing the work. We recruit, retain, and also continually recognize for their efforts our partners. We support aligned activities, managing the infrastructure and operations, serving as the neutral conveners and facilitators. Being at that 30,000-foot level is a really important place to be because we recognize opportunities for collaboration. We connect the dots between and among our partners and also between our initiative and other efforts that are going on in the county as well. Internal communications, as I mentioned, is key, and in some cases our staff actually does some program and project implementation where and when that might be necessary. Two examples are subcommittees of our domains. We operate a farm-to-school task force as part of our schools domain, and as part of our healthcare domain, we're focused on improving food in the hospital setting, and we have a group working specifically on that that we facilitate. I mentioned the importance of shared measurement and overseeing evaluation activities and trying to kind of, you know, have us all buy into the same shared measurement system is also part of our work. Building public will, sort of being the conduit between the work that we're doing and the community at large, and we heard a little bit about the importance of making sure that the community speaks the same language that we do. That might mean being, you know, doing media advocacy and so forth, just being the conduit between our partners and the community. We do steward policy, advocating for our policy objectives, and so my staff regularly meets with decision makers and policy makers in that capacity, and serving as resource managers, not only finding funding for our backbone organization, but also finding funding for our partners to carry on the work that they do as well. Just some qualities of the backbone organization identified by FSG. I'm kind of running out of time, so I'm going to go through this quickly. I have a minute. Okay. I'll boil this all down to say that basically my job is to build relationships with people. That's what it's all about. It's, you know, all the other stuff too, but at the end of the day, if you don't have the relationships and the partnerships, then really you have nothing, because our partners are the ones who are out there day to day getting this work done. Just a few challenges and bumps along the way that we've encountered. I mentioned the issue of trust, which of course you have to build over time. Part of that includes recognizing your partners for the work that they do, and there were some interesting challenges early on. You know, our partners weren't really comfortable saying initially that the work that they were doing on behalf of the Childhood Obesity Initiative when it was new, it was untested. You know, they wanted full credit for the work they were doing. That over time really smoothed out, and I think once we showed them that there was value to them in saying they were part of a well-working initiative that was well-respected, those concerns went away. Embracing emergence is a topic I haven't really covered yet, but it's important that you continually check in and look at your goals, and Carmen mentioned that as well in her presentation. Politics, both capital P and small p, always get in the way. Volunteers are hard to manage. They don't always do what you want to do, and you can't fire them. And other than our staff, I should point out that everyone else at our table is there voluntarily. I mentioned evaluation, and that's really connected to the last challenge, which is ongoing fundraising, because support for the backbone organization never goes away. It's important and crucial to maintaining an effective collective impact model. So I'm done. Here's info about FSG in case you want more info about their version, I guess you could say, of collective impact, and my contact information as well. Thank you.